Buddy, good morning. Chuck Gines here with the Chuck Gines Podcast, documenting the human experience. Just one guy in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. Controversial topic today, for sure. This will be one that will be over on the website. As a matter of fact, I have my Zoom audio recorder going right here, and as soon as we're done, we will upload it to ChuckGines.com. I might keep it on the free end. Okay, so it's been in the news lately a lot, I guess, how we are going to teach the history of slavery in our public schools. Very important topic. You know, how are we going to teach the history of anything in public schools, really? And what it looks to me is that all the various sides and all the various players in this, which, and this seems to be a trend today, like to cherry-pick little pieces of history that fit whatever narrative they have and doesn't make them uncomfortable. One of the things I was listening to this morning was Washington Journal, and this topic was up concerning Ron DeSantis and I guess some of the curriculum new curriculum policies in Florida. I guess somebody, or they teach that some slaves may have benefited from slavery and that they had learned skills or something like that. And that's brought up a lot of controversy. We're going to take a look at that. There's actually some historical legitimacy to that. But I was listening to Washington Journal this morning, and there was a theme. People were saying that people don't want to teach the truth because it makes them uncomfortable. And there were a lot of black people calling up, expressing the opinion that white people don't want to teach the truth about history because it makes white people uncomfortable. Well, we're going to take a look at that. And I think there's plenty of uncomfortableness to go around. Case in point, we're going to have an adult conversation here today. And I'm going to have to pull this YouTube because more than likely things that we are going to talk about here are against community guidelines. There is today a movement, an anti-white type movement, and I've said this many, many times, and I'm very experienced within the black community. The largest group of racists and the most potent racism that we have today is black people being racist against white people. That is the crime statistics validate this, all kinds of things. There's a big problem. And one of the things I think that is lent to this is a selective cherry picking of history that makes, you know, if you tell, like I said, if you tell one particular group of people that maybe hasn't done as well as other groups of people within a society, and you tell that group the reason, the main reason, the primary reason why we are not successful or as successful as other groups is because of these oppressive evil people over here, right? And that's pretty much the narrative. And if you tell that narrative, you're free to go. And that's there's some legitimacy to that, but that's not the primary thing that we're dealing with here today, affirmative action and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things about slavery people don't want to talk about. And I think we should just teach the history of slavery. One of the books that I'll be referencing here today is a book by Hugh Thomas, The Slave Trade. It's a really, really good book. There's a lot of good books out there, but I'll be referencing this a little bit today. I'm not going to be referencing these necessarily so much, but these are some other good books having to do with Christianity and slavery because they're integral to each other. Slaves in the New Testament, Literary, Social, and Moral Dimensions by J. Albert Harrell. Let me see that right there. This is actually really, really good scholarly work. The Mind of the Master Class, History and Faith in the Southern Slaveholder's Worldview by Elizabeth Fox Genovese and Eugene D. Genovese. Another real good book on, again, these are kind of like slavery in the Bible, not necessarily the history, like the slave trade is. Noah's Curse, The Biblical Justification of American Slavery. And that's another one. I was looking for it somewhere on my shelf. White Cargo is another really good book that has to do with a lot of the Irish that were used as slaves. So it seems to me that, like I said, there's just, you know, a lot of cherry-picking of history. So good morning, Rick. How are you? So let's get straight with the basis that slavery is not unique to North America. And as we're going to see here a little bit, it really wasn't as prevalent as other places. For example, this might seem shocking to you, but could you tell me just what percentage of the slaves that came from Africa in the North Atlantic slave trade, what percentage of those slaves came to North America? I'll let people, we're going to throw that out there and see if anybody can come up with a close estimate of how many of the slaves in the European North Atlantic slave trade came to North America. 4%, you're right, Rick. 4%. Now, if you would listen to the narrative that we hear mostly today, you would almost think that, like, Americans invented slavery or something, right? And we had most of the slaves. The other thing is that America had slavery for less than 100 years. We tend to blur all of this stuff together, and that's not really what history is about. I mean, the Portuguese were the Portuguese, and they were not Americans, and they brought most of their slaves down to Brazil, not here. But again, you wouldn't know that. And I'm not justifying slavery. That's not what I'm doing. What I want to do is talk about some facts that add to the context of what we're talking about. Here in North America, Lakota Man over on Twitter likes to omit this part of his history. Lakota Man, you guys used to take slaves. Lakota Sioux took lots of slaves. Comanches took lots of slaves. Navajo took lots of slaves. You guys enslaved people. You sure did, and you were brutal to your slaves. Long before any white people got here, the natives here were enslaving one another. It's not a white guy invention, not even close. In the North American slave trade, it was the Arabs that took far more slaves than the Portuguese and the Spanish and the English and the French. Right? Again, I'm not justifying, trying to minimize. It's just, what is the context here? And in our world today, there's this skewing of history that they want to blame it all on white Europeans, and that's just not the case. I'm sorry, but the Lakota Sioux and the Comanche and most people on the planet had slaves. There's just no doubt about it. So that's the context that we have here. America had slaves for a little under 100 years. It is part of our history. There's no doubt about it. But it's there's much more to our history than just slavery. And there's just a lot of misinformation. So I think everybody's uncomfortable about this topic. But here's a question that no one seems to ask. So the Portuguese and the Spaniards and all them guys and the sugar plantations and all that stuff, so they're needing workers, right? Well, there happens to be a whole shitload of indigenous people right here. Okay. Why go all the way over to Africa? You know, what an expense. Cross the Atlantic Ocean, got to deal with the Jewish merchants. Because here, okay, let's talk about history. So the Jews were very instrumental. They were the big middlemen in the North Atlantic slave trade. Let's talk about history, shall we? That's true. They even had a special name. I had marked it in here. They called something these Jews that were the middlemen. But anyway, why go all the way over there to bring, when there's plenty of indigenous people here. Because the indigenous people resisted. They sure did, Bob, didn't they? Lazy would not work. No, it's not that they were lazy. It's not so much that they were lazy. It's that they were resistant. Let's read a little bit here. Who's that guy, Kanye West? I believe a few years ago alluded to this. He got a lot of black people pissed at him, but there's some historical... So Indian slaves were used to open up the mines, but they, as usual, proved themselves inferior to blacks in endurance, commitment, and docility, right? So there were multiple reasons. The natives, indigenous people here, resisted. The other thing is that they were not as physically endowed. Okay. Genetics, all kinds of stuff we can get into. Taboo. Why black athletes dominate sports and why we're afraid to talk about it. Great book. So, Irish were tried for a while as well, but they didn't hold up to the heat. So there are reasons why sub-Saharan Africans were chosen for slaves. They were more physically well endowed. That's why they dominate sports today. We can get into all this kind of stuff. It's genetics and biology and all the stuff you're not supposed to talk about. So one of the other things that I was hearing, you want to talk about truth, and then you start saying that race is nothing but a social construct. Well, we got a big problem there. I mean, if we're really going to talk about this, and we're really going to be truthful about history and what's going on today, we have to recognize that different races of people are genetically different. We know today that sapiens are different hybrid mixtures. That's what makes racial groups. It's not a social construct. It's a biological reality. And sapiens interbred, different sapiens interbred with different hominoid species. And we know this today through the genome projects and unraveling DNA, the Neanderthal. We know that Europeans and Asians can have as much as 8% Neanderthal, where sub-Saharan Africans don't have any of this. So the whole idea that we're one big happy family originally from Ohio is an Afrocentric Marxist idea, but it doesn't hold up in the biological world and in reality. We're very different people. We evolve differently. We interbred with different people. That's why we're different. So those are things to take into consideration. Blacks were targeted for slaves because of their physical abilities and their docility and their lack of resistance as compared to other ethnic groups. And that's why the Portuguese and the Spaniards went all the way across the ocean to go get workers. And didn't use the indigenous people there or the Irish for those particular tasks. So if we're going to teach history, we probably need to teach some biology and some genetics too, and how we're different. And those are some things that led to that. We also have to talk about IQ. Today, with the Black Lives Matter and the climate out there today, the idea is, and the reason why there's so much hatred towards white people today and we're so at odds, is that cultural Marxists, the postmodernists, have used them to turn them against the society by claiming that, hey, the main reason why you're not successful, as successful as, say, Asians, right? Now, this plays out in court cases. What's going to happen now that they take affirmative action? What you're going to see, look, here's what you're going to see happen at the universities. If it's a meritocracy and we're going to go off testings, here's what you're going to see. you're going to see that what that one sect of Jews. You're going to see them the at the most highest percent per capita, right? Because they have the highest IQs. Then you're going to see Asians, right? Then you're going to see Caucasians. Then you're going to see Hispanics, and then you're going to see Sub-Saharan Africans. That's how it's going to fall if it's by a meritocracy, and that's going to fall right in line with IQ. IQ basically is our processor, like in a computer, right? Let's say you want to run a heavy program, a heavy piece of software, but you don't have the processor in your computer to run those programs. IQ is kind of like that, right? So I oftentimes give the example because I was at a Black Lives Matter deal, and they were putting forth this idea that the reason there aren't proportionally as many blacks make up like 13-14% of the population, but say like you take doctors and lawyers, they're like 2% or something like of professions of doctors and lawyers. Maybe it's 1%. I don't know. It's low. It's not equal to their proportion of population. There's no doubt about that. Okay, that's a fact. Disproportionately, other ethnicities hold those types of professions. There's no doubt about that. The other ethnic groups tend to do better at college and scores. That's why you want to have affirmative action. You want to lower the testing standards because different racial groups are not going to do as well on the testing because they don't have the same CPU units. When we want to talk history, we want to talk about truth. It's just the world we're in. I don't make this shit up, man. I'm just observing the world we're in, and this is the data. It's not my opinion. This is data sets. We're different. We're different, and we're similar. We all cry. We have many human things that are very similarities, but there are differences amongst people, and IQ, on average, is one of those differences. So the idea is that, okay, it's because of these evil, white, oppressive people over here and the repercussions of slavery is why in 2023 there's only 1 or 2% of senators and doctors and lawyers that are black. Well, is there anything else that might contribute to this? Let's say that there is some legitimacy to that. I wouldn't dispute that. But that's not the main thing that's going on here, because when we look, we can ask ourselves how many Asians are doctors and lawyers with an IQ of 85? How many Hispanics are doctors and lawyers who are packing an IQ of 85, right? We can look around and say, how many Irish guys, how many Italian guys are doctors and lawyers who are packing a CPU, a processing computer unit that runs at 85? And the answer to that is zero, because the number one discriminating factor having to do with who becomes a doctor and a lawyer is IQ. How do you process and handle the data? And you have to have an IQ. For those types of professions, you generally, on average, have to have an IQ of about 115, right? So that's the – now, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that Sub-Saharan Africans of – well, actually, it's different. If Sub-Saharan Africans who still live in Sub-Saharan Africa have an average IQ of 75. Sub-Saharan Africans that have interbred with other racial groups and live in England or Canada or America, anywhere where they've interbred with white people, they have an average IQ of 85. So they, because of that genetic mixing, there's a 10-point increase in IQ from pure Sub-Saharan Africans, and those that have been mixed in with a society, they've gained 10 IQ points. But the average black person in Canada, in England, in United States, the average black person has an IQ of 85. That doesn't mean that there aren't smart black people, but on average, the average IQ is 85. Native Americans, Latinos, about 95. Your average white guy walking around is packing 100. And these are very real, and it's a bell curve. There's exceptions to things like that. But if we're going to be talking about these things, we need to be talking about, you know, that as well. So, yeah, there were reasons why, and I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying there's a reason why Africans were targeted by so many different groups. And just to put it in proper context, not a lot of slaves came here. And not everybody abused, you know, you act like everybody abused their slaves, and that's just not true. It's just not, it's not, some were, no doubt about it. So, and it ain't cool to be a slave, but some people actually do like being slaves. You know, the idea with George Bush that there's a desire in every heart to be free, so we'll go over to Iraq and try to instill a system they're totally unfamiliar with. Well, no, it's not in everybody's desire to be free. Some people like not being free and having security, and there's interchanges for that. So what do you guys think about that? There is a good reason why the military chooses not to use poodles as military dogs, biology. Right, exactly. And a lot of the IQ data originally was coming from the military, and the reason for it had a practical purpose in the real world, is they wanted to select who was, you know, possible officer, right, from the general population. You don't want to take someone that could be an officer and a leader and stick them in a ditch, in a grunt hole somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Super chat is open if you wish to contribute to my efforts here. Again, I got to pull this video down. I won't make a dime off of it, so I totally depend on viewers for any of my finances for a lot of this type of stuff. Again, I'll have to put this over on ChuckGines.com. you can become a member over there for $9.99 for the year and have access to other stuff where I talk about race and IQ as well. But yeah, there's a lot to slavery, and slavery's not cool. There's no doubt about it, and it's a shame. But I think it needs to be held in proper context. And yeah, Stephanie, how you doing? Hello, good to see you today. What do you think about our topic today? So I think a lot of people don't want to talk about the truth about slavery and about history. It's not just white people. I think there's a lot of people that don't want to because it's uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable. There's no doubt about it. You know, there are reasons, there are biological, physical reasons why East Africans win every fucking relay race in the Olympics since they've had relay races. There's a reason for that, biological, genetic, racial reasons for that. There's a reasons why black people dominate the NBA and the NFL. There are genetic, biological reasons for that. A lot of it has to do with testosterone levels. Right, and it's a double-edged sword. Having more testosterone, Asians would have the least amount of testosterone. Highest IQ, lowest testosterone. Black people, highest testosterone, lowest IQ. This is all real stuff, man. I don't make this stuff up, okay? Why is it important? Well, testosterone can lead to excelling in a lot of sport activities, right? Especially not strength sports so much, though, like weightlifting and things like that, but running, jumping, short burst type sports like that, okay? Testosterone has a lot to do with that. So that's why. And there's cultural reasons, social reasons as well, but there's biological reasons why black people excel at a lot of those things, right? Just like Asians excel at getting into Harvard, right? Asians do not excel at getting into the MBA. See, people excel at different things, and a lot of it's biological basis to it. So, what was I getting at? So, but it's a two-edged sword. We also know that testosterone lends to aggression, right? So there's a lot of crime within the black community today. There's no, I mean, it's like, it's off the chain. It's like incredibly insane, the amount of crime. It's like, dig this, 4% of the population, and that would be blacks between the ages of 18 and 30, that 4% of the population accounts for like 56% of all crime. Just to get your mind around it. When it comes to like cities like Chicago, that group, that 4% group accounts for 98% of all shootings. 91% of all robberies. I mean, like, off the chain with this particular group of people. Now, your cultural Marxist will come in and say, well, that has to do with economic disparity. And there's no doubt that economics plays a role. Not going to say it doesn't, but I'm not going to absolutize that and negate and not talk about the biological factors and tendencies towards violence and aggression. I ain't going to not look at that as well, because when we take Asians who are also of the same economic status, we don't see Asians doing that. So there's something more than just environment. There's biological things going on here. And I don't think anybody wants to talk about it. I don't think anybody wants to talk about it, you know. I'll have to pull this video because I'm talking about the Jews' key involvement in the North Atlantic slave trade. And it's just history. I don't know, you get mad at me. I didn't make it up, right? It's oh, here's Asians as Slaves. This is a really good book. I'm looking for there was a certain name that they called the Jewish merchants who were kind of the middlemen at all the ports. Oh, Lowrider, thank you very much, man. But the Jews were very much involved with the slave trade. They were key. There's white slaves. I mean, here you go. Most important merchant, Portugal, concerning in the slave trade, Fernando Gomes, who, despite enlistment, he was Jewish. He's going through all the main, leading, most famous slave traders at the key ports were Jews. They were the middlemen, as they often find. You know, there's cultural things going. How do the Jews always find themselves being the middlemen? You know, you're not allowed to talk about that, but it's actually true. So it was just wild listening to Washington Journal this morning with all these black people on there talking about how white people don't want to talk about the truth about slavery because it makes us uncomfortable. And I'm totally fine with talking about it. Again, thank you so much, Lowrider, for that. Really appreciate it. What do you guys think? And again, I'm not coming from a place to hate. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to know what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. And I don't hate black people at all. I feel defensive because I feel attacked by black people, so I want to defend myself and my European ancestry. I feel that. You know, when you say the reason you guys shoot each other so much and haven't done as well as other racial groups is because of me, right, and my ancestors and my heritage, well, I'd like to answer the charge is all. Can I? Oh, I'm not allowed. See? Oh, I see. I have to be accused and I have to be quiet, right? I'm not allowed to get on YouTube and talk about this. I'm going to have to put this on my own website because you can't talk about it. So apparently there's somebody else out there that's a little bit apprehensive and uncomfortable to talk about, you know. Like I said, I heard of multiple black people on there about how race is a social construct with no biological underpinnings, and then talk about white people. And no, I'm sorry, that is factually incorrect. It's not really arguable. There are some things that are like really good, solid facts, and we just, in order to have adult conversations, here's the problem we have today. In order to have an adult, scientific, reasonable conversation, both parties have to have a respect for basic facts. And that's where we, on just about every fucking topic. I was originally going to talk about today, the similarities between Black Lives Matter and Make America MAGA movement, right? Two major mass movements based on total lies. Both of them. Totally fictitious. I mean, people willing to, they will kill each other over this shit, and it's not true, right? I'll give you the example. Black Lives Matter, right? Here I am at one of their many rallies. This one was tens of thousands of people. And the theme and the signs is that there's a genocide happening. There's a genocide happening in America where innocent, innocent unarmed black guys are being mowed down by racist white cops, and it's a genocide, right? This is the motif that they're... So, of course, me being in my Socratic method, I ask a simple question. Oh, how many unarmed black guys were shot by white cops last year? Ooh, Jesus, you about to take your head off for asking the question. Why? Because the statistics, 0.02. What? 0.02% of black guys shot in America are unarmed and shot by white cops? 0.02? This is the genesis? This is the crisis that we have today? Incredible, right? And MAGA, here we go. Another mass movement. These motherfuckers willing to bust through windows and get shot by agents over this shit, right? All based on the election was stolen through massive voter fraud. Total lie. I mean, not only is there not any compelling evidence, it's worse. Both of these things. It's not just that there isn't any compelling evidence to support the theory. It's much worse than this. There are mountains of evidence that say you're fucking nuts. So I don't see anybody really wanting to talk about the truth about any goddamn thing, to tell you the truth. You know what I'm saying? I don't think anybody's really. I think everybody's got a narrative in their own little special little worlds, and they like to go and pick information that supports their world. That's what I see everywhere. I see it everywhere on every topic. I don't see anybody wanting to talk the truth. Do you? I don't see that happening. I don't see any real Socratic. I don't see any real scientific method. I don't see a lot of inductive reasoning going on anywhere. I appreciate you talking about these topics. I thought these were the kind of subjects we could talk about in the university. Boy, was I wrong. No, you can't talk about it. Rick, thank you very much, man. Again, Super Chat is open. Yeah, why can't we talk about these like adult caring people? Like I said, man, my whole point with this isn't... Look. I believe that our mark of virtue, our morality, and our politics should be formulated with human well-being as our marker, right? As Sam Harrison's moral landscape, what is good, what is right action, and so we have to be what's conducive to human well-being, right? Well, how is it conducive to human well-being to be in denial of at least half of reality in moving forward about our day? I don't know how that can be conducive to human well-being. So for me, I have to start with the truth. So if it is true that the blacks are disproportionately represented in professions like doctors and lawyers, okay, I'm willing to look at that. Let's look at that. But let's not come to the table with a preconceived narrative that it's white people's fault, right? And so then I'll go look across the horizon of historical landscape here, and I'll pick out those things that uplift and support my prior commitment that white people suck, right? It's not how you approach it. I mean, how I approach it. Oh, okay, yeah, they are disproportionately. Okay. Well, there isn't hardly any of that can be today that can be attributed to white oppression, because for 50 years there has been a red carpet that you guys have been put to, the black people have been put to the front of the line in every line in our society for 50 years. So, I don't know who that is. So the oppression thing, I ain't saying there isn't racism, but pretty much, man, the carpet's been rolled out. And things didn't get any better because IQ. You can lower the standards all you want at the university. Asians are, now you got to discriminate against the Asians, right? So now the Asians who didn't have anything to do with the North Atlantic slave trade, right? So you're going to punish them because they genetically and biologically have higher IQs on average. So you're gonna punish them for white people's alleged actions and then put black people ahead of Asians. How does that benefit anybody? Because here's what happens. Harvard and these pristine universities start losing credibility, right? One of the reasons you would get a doctor from Harvard or a lawyer from Harvard is that they had a vetting process, and this was the best and the brightest, right? Well, not so much anymore. You start lowering these standards. None of this is conducive to human well-being. We have to start with the truth, you know? Because the heads of both of these movements, these people are not very bright at all. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think this has anything to do as far as, like, there's a lot of bright people. For example, you know, like yesterday, I was listening to Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk said, of course, he's putting the political argument out there that indicting Trump for January 6th is nothing more than election interference because they're afraid to run up against Trump, so they're trying to take him out of the election. And Trump has every constitutional right to question the election results. Okay, let's unpack this a little bit here. So here's Charlie Kirk, an intelligent man. Now, I have to wonder to myself, does Charlie Kirk really believe this shit? Because I don't think so. I don't think Charlie Kirk really believes that because Charlie Kirk's not a fucking idiot, right? He's packing a 120, 115, 120 IQ. He's not stupid, right? And that is like such a untethered from reality weighed verbiage. That, I mean, that is sophistry and rhetoricism just incredible. So, yes, every president has a right to challenge election results. There's no doubt about that. We've had that happen. I give the example in 1960 where Kennedy challenged the counting in Arizona. And then through the proper legal process that we have for that, they did a recount. And sure enough, it came out the other way. That was a very close election within hundreds of votes, right? So in this election, we're talking about not a close election at all. Doesn't even trigger, not within the 10,000 mark to even trigger an automatic recount, right? And Trump did use all, he did question, and he used all of his legal things to the maximum, and they all came back, big turd sandwich. Well, he's not being indicted for that. He kept on going. After he had exhausted his constitutional rights to question the election, and he had exhausted those, he kept on going. That's what he's being charged for. Charlie Kirk knows this. He knows that. But one of the things of internet marketing, right? Brian G. Johnson taught this, you know, if you're marketing slingshots or you want to sell something online, not online, anywhere. What do? You find out what your customer base wants, and then you deliver it to them. You bring it to them, right? So what Charlie Kirk is saying here is there's no legitimacy to the indictment that's about to come down. Oh, bullshit, there's a lot, and he knows that. There's a lot. It's not just a attempt. They're afraid. They beat Trump last time. Well, why would they be afraid to trade? You know, then none of that makes sense. And that's not, those are not legal arguments of the innocence of Trump. So does he know that? Of course he knows that. You know what I'm saying? You hear this shit all the time, and it's always, does Mark Levin know the differences between what happened in 1960 between Nixon and Kennedy in Hawaii and what John Eastman is kind of putting forth in 2020? Doesn't Mark Levin is a highly, he's an attorney, so we know he's got a 115 IQ, right? Does Mark Levin know that is really a skewed view? Of course he does. Sure he knows that. Money. They tell you what you want to hear. Still don't care. Boy with fan. You don't care about what? What don't you care about? why are you watching then? You see what I mean? It's love more than money. Yeah, I mean, these people got to know it's bullshit. You know what I mean? I mean, like the whole thing that we're looking at. Here, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, all these guys, the election wasn't stolen. These guys are fucking idiots. I hate Donald Trump. Tucker, I hate Donald Trump with a passion. He's a demonic force. I can't wait to get rid of him, right? Behind the scenes. Still to this day on Russell Brand. Here's Tucker. I love Trump. Does Russell Brand, right? Because Russell Brand says, oh, you've had some differing opinions, he says. Where do you stand now on Trump, Tucker? Everybody here on my subscriber list loves Trump. What is your view? Does Russell Brand know that Tucker Carlson said all these things behind the scenes? Of course he does. Of course he knows that. Right? But he lies for money. These people are they're in the business of selling lies, of telling people what the fuck they want to hear for money. Right? And it's the same thing with all this race stuff and what they want, you know, critical race theory in schools, and black people just as well don't want to talk about the reality of this shit because it's uncomfortable. Science and reality doesn't give a shit about our feelings. Reality is radically indifferent. I got a YouTube video on my biker channel in the Bisti Badlands about the radical indifference of the universe. Does not give a fuck about us. And that's called reality. And facts are in reality. And part of a critical thinking, honest scientific investigation for truth is making an effort to be objective. Of course, no one can be totally objective, but no, these people are not even trying to be objective, you know? It would don't have that things I super happy. Any drug dealers is bad. I don't know what you're talking about, man. Boy, with... And you think, you know, of all the things to do with life, why... Boy, with fan... I don't even know why you would waste your time even coming on here. It's really weird. The world's weird today. People are weird. They're really weird. But, yeah, the truth about slavery. Every Lakota man. Lakota man on Twitter. Lakota. Oh, the snake people. You were hated by everybody, dude, because you were so fucking violent and ruthless. This retro romanticism with Native Americans is obscene. You guys were brutal. You guys were involved in cannibalism. You used to eat one another when we got here. That's why we called you savages. You were in the Stone Age. You were living in the fucking Stone Age, man. Huh? I sure noticed. You know what, Lakota man? You sure like your smartphone. You sure like your Twitter. Brought to you by them evil white guys. Because you know what the truth of the matter is? You know what the truth of the matter is? Almost every single major invention that has uplifted mankind is brought to you by European white people. The scientific method itself, brought to you by white people, European white people. Great. While Native Americans were running around flimping stones, doing flimp napping. We had already done Beethoven. Are you fucking kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? You were living in the Stone Age. You were brutal. And there was injustices done on our part, too. There's no doubt about that. But let's be right about history. It amazes me how black Americans are so obsessed with American slavery while not caring about modern slavery in the cobalt mines. I mean, the slavery in Africa is insane, man. What's going on in the Sudan right now? Oh, my God. Darfur region. If you want to see what goes on there, right? Sub-Saharan Africans are the only culture of people that never had a modern society. They never even made a two-story building. I'm sorry, the Egyptians were not Sub-Saharan Africans. The ancient Egyptians were Caucasoids from Turkey. King Tut's DNA comes from Northern England. Hey, James, how you doing? I'm going to have to pull this one, James, because we're talking the truth about history today. That being said, I am a firm believer that we must judge each individual as an individual. That's key to this whole system, right? Because not everybody fits into that. Even though it's on average, even though it holds the world space, that's why we judge individual people as individual people and not solely upon their group affiliation. I mean, that's in there too. You know what I'm saying? Whatever group, there's a million groups that we subscribe to and segregate ourselves into, economic, cultural, all kinds, man. All kinds of groups that we're segregating ourselves into. And that's the truth, but we're not allowed to talk about it, huh? But yeah, man, I mean, there's slavery today, and it occurs there. And to act as if, you know, white people were the only people that ever had slavery is just ridiculous. And, you know, when you say these numbers, people think you're lying. Yeah, only 4% of the slaves from the North Atlantic slave trade came to North America. Most of them went to the Caribbean and South America and Brazil, and they didn't come here. And they weren't brought here by Americans. Get your fucking history straight. You know, it's like the Christians like to count the colonies as America. No, those were little theocratic city-states. They have nothing to do with America. Yeah, it's crazy that at the very time BLM was big across the biggest black war ever, and Ethiopia was being played out. Ironic. I know, dude. It's crazy. Blacks have a tendency, on average, to be more violent. And there are genetic and biological reasons for that. There are also cultural reasons for that. Had nothing to do with no slavery. Asians have higher IQs. That's the evolutionary process through the interbreeding with different hominoid species. We're not the same. We're different. And we have to recognize those differences if we're going to seriously move towards greater human well-being. What ends up happening is someone gets hurt when we approach it the way that, you know, in case of affirmative actions at the schools, then the Asians are getting discriminated against because they're Asians. It should be meritocracy. You know, we need a meritocracy. And some people just get the short fucking straw. And it isn't anybody's fault necessarily. And doesn't mean necessarily they're bad people and there needs to be jobs and livelihoods for all people. There's no doubt about that. But I'm sorry, man. Race is real. People are not equal. They are not the same. And yeah, we have a lot of similarities. There's no doubt that to connect us all and no doubt about it. But there are major differences between people. And biology is a huge factor in our personalities. We don't choose our favorite color, man. That's a genetic pre-given. Isn't that amazing? They've done like tens of thousands of identical twin studies that were separated at birth, and it's just incredible. The motherfuckers dress the same. It's crazy, man. It's really wild. It's amazing. It's fascinating. Huh? Reality is fascinating, and I think we should investigate it and not worry about our feelings. And again, a lot of this stuff is very, very sensitive and touchy topics. There's no doubt about it. But there's enough discomfort to go around for everybody, for sure. Okay, I am going to have to pull this video immediately because we're just talking the truth. The best thing about you, Chuck, that you don't put whites at the top of the DNA. Well, it depends what it is, dude. You know, it depends. When it comes to invention, exploration, and discovery, nobody beats white Europeans. There's no, and it's interesting. Why? Why is that? To me, that's an interesting question. Why is that? And they're starting to discover why. And there's a genetic, it's not really a single gene, it's more alleles, but what they're referring to as a curiosity gene. And for whatever reason, you know, so different groups of people have tendencies to be better at different things and worse at other things. And that's just the way it is. You meant IQ. Well, I can't put us on the top of the IQ. That's not where we fall. I just go by the data, man. Asians have... Here's the wild thing, though. Here's the weird thing about this, though. It's fascinating. While Asians, on average, have a higher IQ, about 106, 104, 106, they have nowhere near the level of the amount of geniuses. This is fascinating, man. They have nowhere near. One in every 1,000 Caucasians has an IQ of 145 or higher. I can't remember what it is in Asians. In blacks, it's one in every 200,000, just to get your mind around that. So to have IQ 145 or higher, it's one in every 1,000 of Caucasians, one in every 200,000 in African Americans. I can't remember what it is in Asians. But anyway, here's what happens, and this is what we see, right? European white guys invent something. The Asians take it and make it faster, smaller, cheaper, right? They take whatever, look. They take whatever we have and they make it, you know, better, smaller, cheaper, faster. But they usually don't come up with the inventions that much. It's usually the white Europeans that come up with the inventions and the discoveries. I mean, think about it, man. The printing press. It's just really amazing that race of people, white Europeans. It's truly amazing the amount of inventions and discoveries we have brought into modern civilization. Modern Western civilization is brought to you by European white guys. Liberal democracy, our medicine, our arts. Wow. And it's Aristotelian based. It's brought to you by white guys. And one of the great things, the other thing about white people is they share a lot. We have these behavior tendencies and it's genetic and there's biology involved. There's also environment, but, you did a stream on how to watch the news. Maybe we need on how to read data. Well, that's what all of my stuff, dude. That's what I'm trying to teach people or show people is the critical thinking, not just data. The same thing with the news is going to be for this because it's critical thinking. How to have the critical thinking process for the discovery of truth. It's a scientific method, right? So you have to have, what do I say? There's four corners to the arena of ideas. Fact, reason, logic, context, right? And I could add a sixth thing, the effort for objectivity. You have to have those things. So reason. Reason is a faculty of the human mind. It's a capability that we have. Logic is a tool of reason. So reason is a human faculty. Logic is a tool. It's a measuring stick. It's a tool of reason. Then we have facts. But facts have to be in proper context, right? And what's key to that proper context is having an effort, a conscious effort to be objective. And so that's how we, you know, let's just look at this real quick. So Donald Trump's going to be indicted for January 6th. What do I do immediately? I want to go see what are the people saying that are defending him. What are the style? What are the type? What are the types of arguments coming from Dan Bongino, Charlie Kirk? Right? What are these guys saying? Well, how are they defending him against the charges? This is going to tell me a lot here. Okay, I'm not looking into the legitimacy of the charges yet. The first thing I'm going to go do is I'm going to go see how these guys are defending Donald Trump. And are they using, and I have a list of shyster arguments. You take a symbolic logic class. They'll teach you this shit, right? There's bullshit sophistry arguments that people make, swindles, right? And they're real typical. Like I said, they fall into three categories, right? Mischaracterization, lack of context, derailments into other topics, right? Character assassination, monkey poop throwing. These are the three things that people do, okay? So I go to Charlie Kirk. What does Charlie Kirk say? Well, the first thing he says is that this is a witch hunt, and this is designed as an election interference to knock Donald Trump out of the election. Okay, so let's look at that. Is that a refutation, attempt to refute the charges? Has he said, no, Donald Trump is innocent because of boom, 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 boom? It's not what he said. He didn't make a legal argument. Because let's say that it is a witch hunt. Could somebody legitimately be caught doing legitimate crimes in a witch hunt? And just because it's a witch hunt, does that mean they didn't do the crime? See what I mean? I'm applying logic, reason, all of this stuff. So I see Mark Levin. I see they have, right? The election is stolen. Right? Okay, what's the evidence? Okay, I see Rudy Giuliani. And then I discover that Rudy Giuliani selectively edited and manipulated a videotape and drastically distorted it into something that it wasn't. Oh, okay, well, that tells me a lot. Doesn't that tell me a great deal about election fraud? I mean, that tells me a great deal about the legitimacy of election fraud, because what just happened is this guy just got caught perpetrating a fraud about election fraud. So I can learn a lot right there just with some real basic stuff. So look and see what the other side is saying. Are they making legitimate arguments, or are they making bullshit arguments? And they're making bullshit arguments. Trump's in trouble, as he should be. Right? Mischaracterization. Trump, what did Charlie Kirk say? Here you go. Mischaracterization. First thing. Trump has a constitutional right to challenge the election results. But that's not what's happening here. That is an absolute gross mischaracterization of what the fuck is happening here. It's the first thing people do when they don't have an argument. So look, regardless of what the topic is, this is what's great about philosophy. It doesn't matter what the fuck the topic is. People are going to do the same shit, right? Is that an accurate characterization of what happened here? No, it's not. Trump is not being charged for questioning and bringing legal challenges to the election results. He has a constitutional right, just like, and he did that, just like a lot of people have. The only difference is everybody else in fucking history didn't continue with the pursuit to overturn the election. Do you see that this is like way different? This isn't just like exercising constitutional rights to question the election. This is going beyond that. See what I'm saying? So you know it's bullshit, man. You know that's bullshit, right? And we got to get, this is the dunghill, and we're looking for the diamond, Jefferson's diamond in the dunghill. And it's a process. Free Top G. What? Oh, my God. It's stiffening, though, a lot of shit to find the pearls. Well, of course, man. Yes, it's a lot of work. That's why I want money. What I do is worth money. I go through, look, what am I doing? I'm reading this, so you don't have to read it, right? Aggregating all of this stuff. That's what journalism is. I've kept a journal since I was 13. That's what I like to do. But anyway, yeah, man. I think everybody's afraid of the truth these days, and everybody's just cherry-picking facts out of the pool to support whatever narrative that they're running. And it doesn't matter what the topic is today. It's truth is really, really taking a hit here. And we should teach history. And we should teach history as history is without all of this political agenda around it. But that's not what's happening. As a matter of fact, we talked about history today. I have to pull this video because I'm going to get reported in a possible channel strike for what I've said. And I haven't advocated any hatred towards anybody or encouraged any kind of violence or anything like that. That is not my intention at all. My goal is the greatest well-being for the most amount of people. And we get there we get there through what is true, good, and beautiful, not through make-believe, sophistry, rhetoric, lies, mischaracterization, and intellectual swindles. And that's what I see everywhere I look. All right, everybody, you have a good day today. We're going to talk more about the January 6th thing. Trump could be indicted today or sometime this week, we're going to follow that through. Really incredible stuff. But, again, head over to ChuckGines.com. I'm going to put the replay of this over there today. I think I'll leave this one on the free end. But do consider becoming a member over there. It's $9.99 a year. It gives you access to all podcasts that are not located over here on YouTube. All right, everybody, have a great day.